Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. This week, we're talking about Barbie Fairytopia Mermania from 2006.
We will be talking about, is the sequel better than the original? Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yes.
That's the whole podcast.
That's it. Okay, guys, this has been Girls Like You.
And
the scene is set. We're back in the little fairy place. And this is not too far after the events of the first movie. In many ways, it almost seems as if it's right after, which means it really is a direct sequel. And we see Elena, and she's hanging out with her new cool wings that she got in the last one with Dandelion, who, if you don't remember, was the total loser who dipped out of the adventure at the beginning. And fun fact, she dips out of this adventure too because her mom won't let her. And of course, everyone's favorite puffball and secret demon who's going to come and eat your children, Bibble. And they're just like hanging out. And then this really creepy thing, which I guess is like a fairy, but like from the sea, is stalking them. And she's, I don't know what that's about, but she's really annoying. And she pops up and says, hey, Elena, you remember hot Prince Nalu, who everyone agrees is totally hot. And we all think he's really hot. And it's not weird. I find him hot. Remember him from the last movie who you met and you guys ate seaweed together? Well, we're going to pick him up, and he is in danger, and the mer people are in danger, and you're the only one who can fix them, apparently, because guess what? Laverna's fungi are back, and they're back in action, and Laverna's somewhere. I thought she was dead. Guess she isn't. Fun fact. Okay, it's kind of like a Voldemort situation, from what I can tell. So we zoom back, and we go see the fungi, and Fungus Maximus, we're going to call him Max because he likes to have fun. He's a cool dude. This is just his job. He has fun on the side. He's with Nalu, and he's like, Nalu, where is the immunity berry? And what is the immunity berry? Well, it's something that is a MacGuffin, but also is a magical berry that will allow Laverna to escape her banishment, which I don't think was what happened in the last movie. I don't think she was banished. I thought they killed her, but maybe that was my confusion. I don't know. Anyways, for whatever reason, a berry will help her because fruits are good, and I guess that's the message they're trying to send through this for children, is eat your fruits and you'll get out of the banishment your twin sister put you in. Anyways, Nalu knows where this berry is, but he's not going to tell them because why would he? That's no bueno. Then they're like, hey, guess what? You don't tell us where it is. We're going to kill all of your people with bad water because also this is a pollution story. Plot twist. And he's like, oh, that's horrible. So I'll show you where it is because guess what? I would like not all my people to die today. And that's, so we cut back. Elena then is trying to find Nalu high and low. Bibble is behind her. And that weird fairy thing from before isn't there anymore. She shows up once. We don't see her again. It's a common thing for these movies. And there we meet Nori, who is a mer person, and she is purple and Elena is pink. So the aesthetics are different, but both female enough, we can market it to children.
Isn't she blue? I guess she has both purple.
Yeah, I don't know. I think because my doll was purple, it's like in my mind she's purple, but anyway, she's blue. Okay, well then maybe that's what we're doing. I don't know, Lily. This is my, are you doing this, Lily? Excuse me. Nori, who is not the same color as Elena and is a different color, so we saw that they're different people, and then when they swim and hang out together, it's easy to tell them apart because kids are dumb, so they have to, like, color coordinate. Yeah. Anyways, Nori is hot for Nalu, but she can't get with Nalu because Nalu is, like, I guess a prince and she's a commoner, although none of this hierarchy is ever explained, but that's not really important, I guess, whatever. So Nori doesn't like Elena because she's, well, you know, of course, a sexual competitor. This is another beautiful woman that Nalu has had good feelings for, and she is getting on her turf. And she's like also like the chosen one. Like, how can you compete with the chosen one? I understand Nori. So Elena's like, hey, you like Nalu. I'm a big fan of Nalu. How about we team up and go save Nalu? And Nori's like, nah, I don't want you to. And she runs away to do it by herself. So then Elena and Bibble get all that sweet, sweet seaweed back in their body so they can go swim underwater. And then they find, like, this really disturbing turtle that takes them to Mermania, which is different than Fairytopia. One is an Adia, and the other is a Topia, and they're not the same. And it's mermaids, because in this culture, you name your society based off what species lives there, so we would be Humantopia. that's what Earth would be called. And I think that's lovely. And it also makes things really clear for me because I'm often confused what species is where. That's unrelated. Married to the mermaid, Mermaidia, they find Nori, the creepy, creepy, creepy little turtle takes them to Nori. And Nori is trying to talk to these mer fairies, which is different than a sea butterfly fairy that we saw earlier, but still confuses me, whatever. And they don't want to talk. They're just trying to be like, hey, how can let us hook you up with Nalu? And she's like, no, Nalu's going to die. So Elena's like, okay, we need to talk to these people to find the oracle because that's important. And they're not listening to her. But fun fact, one of them has the hots for Bibble. They love Bibble. They want to feed Bibble. Not the hots for Bibble, but they're into Bibble. Lily, don't shake your head, okay? Don't you shake your head at me. Well, studio audience, Lily is shaking her head, but I'm allowed to ship Bibble and the Mer Fairy. We don't know, okay? They're immortal beings. They seem to know all. Do not tell me. They're like God equivalents. I'm not having this fight with you during my plot summary.
Continue your summary.
It's more of a pit. Like pet relationship.
Yeah, okay, it's more like pet, but like I see, you know what? Fine. The powers that be, which is Lily and Alyssa censoring my freedom of speech, it's more of a pet and person with pet relationship. Less cool, but whatever. Studio audiences, whatever. My I've been silenced again. I'm too extreme for these Barbie theorists. Not the point. Anyways, and so because Bibble likes to eat cookies, the fairies will be like, hey, this is where the oracle is, and they need to go on this boat, which is not like the fairy guide. And Nori's like, cool, we'll do this together because why not? But she also is trying to ditch Elena the entire time by going way faster. But Elena also can go fast. So that I guess that happens. Anyways, they find this thing called Shelly, which is a giant snail, and it's like a boat, I guess, but it's a sentient boat that travels people, and they have to get on it to find the oracle. And then Shelly takes them to the bottom of the ocean and opens up her shell, and a little figure comes out and sings nonsense. But then Elena's like, oh, haha, this is a plot twist. You're not the oracle. Shelly's the oracle. And Shelly has really big lips and goes, mm-hmm. And it's a lovely moment. And so, and then they say that they have to go into the depths of despair, which is a really dark thing for a children's movie, but whatever, and find the Mirror of the Mist. And in the Mirror of the Mist, it'll tell them where Nalu is. But if she's going to do this, Elena has to give up her wings and become a mermaid. And that's really intense because they get this really special necklace, but if the necklace's pearls all turn the same color, she's a mermaid forever, which, you know, for Elena, who just got her wings, this is a really traumatizing idea. She finally got the acceptance she praised, and now she could be completely transformed into another species for all eternity. Like, that would mess with a person. So she tries not to do it at once, and Nori just is like, look, I'll do the depths of despair. You hang up here, Elena. You're lame. And she swims right down. But then she gets caught in the evil seaweed, so Elena has to wish to be a mermaid, and she swims down and saves Nori, but she's also having a bit of an existential crisis because she's a completely different species now and may stay that way forever and no longer has wings. They get down to the depths of despair, and there's a big, big fish there who's like, look into the mirror and ask it questions. And also the fish is kind of like playing magic games because it's like, hey, you could ask it other stuff. But they're like, no, we're here for Nalu and Nalu only. And so the fish is like, whatever. And this fish is never mentioned again and doesn't have a name as far as I'm concerned. And they go, mirror, mirror, where is Nalu? And then the mirror pops out a magical bubble guide that tells you where to go. And the fungi have him. So they follow the bubble guide through quite a lot of confusing things, like a huge fire pit that shoots out lava everywhere. And Bibble almost dies. And that was almost a great moment for me, a traumatic moment for children, where I believe Bibble would finally get the reckoning he deserved, but he did not. He survived. And then they go into this berry field, which is important to remember because we're looking for the immunity berry, which could be forgotten in all of this, but the immunity berry, that's what we're looking for. And so they start looking at berries and they're picking them. And then Bibble starts eating a lot of funky berries and makes lots of weird noises, which Lily will definitely do for you later in this episode because she loves to. Anyways, do that. And then they find Nalu, but Nalu's being like, I don't know, they're harassing Nalu to try to get the immunity berry. And then Max, the fungi, is looking for the berry, and the other fungi are just hanging with Nalu. And so then Bibble, using his Bibble skills distracts the fungi, and Nori and Elena go and grab Nalu, and then the gang is like, time to get the berry out of the Max's hands so we don't get the Laverna to come back. That would be bad. So they do a chase for the berry, and it's very stressful. And then there's like a lot of switcheroos happening. The vial with the poison is there. It's horrible. And so Elena finally grabs the berry. It's success, right? And she's out of the water in time for her pearls not to be completely changed color so she can be a fairy. But then, ha ha ha, Max is there and he has the vial and he's like, give me the berry or I kill all the mermaids. And she's like, bah, what a moral conundrum this is for me. But of course, she chooses not to kill everybody and gives him the berries. And then she turns into a mermaid, which is, I guess, depressing because she was like, I didn't want to be a mermaid. But then it turns out, even though we as the audience are scared that now Max has the immunity berry, it wasn't the immunity berry. It was a fake one because they did the old switcheroon and it was a fake one. So he doesn't, it's fine. And so Nalu's like, awesome, it's great. Mermaidian Fairytopia have not been destroyed, but Elena is now very sad because she's a mermaid and mermaids are lame. That's not true because Nori's like, hey, this is the true self berry, which is a ridiculous berry for a concept. And I don't, whatever. She's like, eat this. And then Elena does. And it turns out she really is a fairy in her soul and gets a way cooler pair of wings. So honestly, Elena gets on the top. Also, at some point, Nori's like, hey, Nalu, I'm in love with you. And Nalu's like, hey, that's great. Me too. And I'm really glad that relationship got solved up. It was good. I needed that one. It's a good, solid relationship. Max goes to Laverna and is like, here's the berry, but it's a true self berry, not an immunity berry. And she turns into a toad. And then Elena goes back home and Azura's there for a moment. And Azura was fun in the last movie, but I guess she just showed up at the end to be like, hey, this is the same series. And then Elena finds her friend Dandelion, who never is actually in the adventures because Dandelion's ridiculous and can't do stuff because she's lame. And then Bibble's like, things are crazy, but he actually can't tell the adventure because he speaks in a coded tongue that none can understand because he was cursed that way because he speaks evil prophecies. And that's the movie. I'm so tired.
Cheers. That was an energetic summer.
I blacked out. I don't know what just happened.
A classic movie. I mean, this is one of my favorites for sure. Growing up, that was the one I would watch over and over again.
I think I watched this for the first time. It may have not been the first time, or like second time when we watched it as with our Girl Scout troop, like 6 months ago.
What do you think? What is your take?
Second time out, I do like it better than Fairytopia. I think it has a more compelling story. Most of the plot is pretty solid, except for like, what was it? The like trick of like the Oracle not being Shelly. I thought that was really dumb because it was like this person. I think, yeah, Gelsey's talked about it. This person is trapped inside the shell just to be a way to like avert people away from Shelly. Like that's her only purpose. And then she just lives alone in the shell and she's trapped and that's it. And every time I see it, I'm like, that's just horrible.
I feel like in the movie, like when we saw that was like the first time Alyssa had a moment that I have often in these movies. We're just like, wait, that's unsettling. I was like, yes, Alyssa, welcome to the dark world. But it's so creepy. Now, granted, we looked it up and obviously it was like a playset you could buy, which is almost more disturbing that they were selling children. Like, hello, this is the sentient being that has enslaved another being within it. Have fun. Like, what is that? Who would sell that? That's insane. That's a crazy marketing, but whatever. I guess I'm not Mattel. Because if I was Mattel, we would have a realistic Bibble plush everywhere. But they don't have one of those. But yeah, no, it's a great movie. Like, it's like a solid plot. But then there's also like really weird filler things. Like the creepy turtle and the dolphin that show up at the beginning that like you think are going to be animal sidekicks. But then they go away almost as soon as they came.
There's a lot of random animal characters who show up for like a brief scene or a moment and then they're gone. Better than the like other fluffy animated characters, but the turtle, the dolphin, but mainly the turtle just looks like baby Voldemort.
like purple baby Voldemort with a shell.
Yeah, it was not cute. And then they're both wearing their little necklaces or whatever, but the dolphin had the necklace around like the thickest part of her body.
It was unsettling.
It's a necklace on a dolphin. It doesn't have a neck. What are dolphins you don't
have its whole body is its neck, Alyssa. So it's just a big neck with a tail flapping around.
One other thing that bothered me, though, were those the people they were talking to try to, like, find the oracle.
Yeah.
Like, their magic was, like, so odd because they're like, oh, the only way you can get real information out of them, because they're so silly all the time, the only way you can get real information out of them is if they invite you in for a snack.
Which is so elaborate. They're also kind of, like, creepily designed. Like, not too much, but they're, like, those weird, like, short, tiny mermaids where you're, like, I don't know what this is. And they're not as bad as the happy trolls from the first movie. But they're, like, I feel like they're, like, the equivalent of that same thing within this film. Because it's, like, something that makes me deeply uncomfortable and honestly wasn't necessary, but we have anyways.
Yeah.
They have the, like, big eyes and,
like, creepy voices. And it's like so ball shaped heads.
Yeah, the big ball shaped heads. I do not like them. Like that part. And then like just like them feeding Bibble so much food. It was just uncomfortable. I didn't want that.
Okay, here's a question. Do you guys want to eat the food from the Fairytopia universe? Because I feel like it's always like jingling and it's like these weird shapes and I like sort of want to eat it, but I can't even imagine what like the texture would be like in real life.
I'm really scared to eat anything in this universe because you have things like the true self berry. Like how, what if like you just eat that? Like it's a berry. Like or all the berries seem to be able to, in the iconic scene of Bibble just trying random crap on the trees, which by the way, is setting a horrible precedent for kids who are like, man, I'm going to be like Bibble and I will just eat the things I find off trees. Yum, yum, yum. And then they die. And that's Bibble's master plan. Can't tell me it's not. But Bibble's like going around eating all these different berries and weird stuff's happening to him. Like, how could you trust the food in this universe? Like, I couldn't. I wouldn't. I'd never eat.
How do you know what's sentient or not? Like, some plants are fine, but then other plants are like living houses. And like how do you know?
Like or peony. Like also what? I like the fact that they mention peony in this one as if she's like a person, but it's just your sentient house you live in, which is a weird theme of alive things having other things live within it, which I do not like. I don't like that theme.
That happens in nature. They're just symbiotic relationships.
Lily, does your symbiotic relationship include having a living bed in which you live on and like living little stuff? Like, because for what I have to assume, like, let's go back to Delphine, right? When you open up her shell, there's like an entire like little mansion in there. And I have to imagine that's just part of her body is she has this little tiny mansion and she keeps a person in it. That's not symbiotic design. That's disturbing. Your science has gone too far, Lily. This is like a Frankenstein moment. You've gone too far. Your creation is wrong.
Well, I want to shout out that like Bibble Berry scene, especially Opera Bibble, who's played by Raphael Wagner, and Deep Voice Bibble, played by Blue Mancuma. Now,
the fact that you know the names of the voice actor for Bibble makes me deeply unsettled, Lily.
I'm on the Wikipedia page, but I did not need to look up the name of Bibble's voice actor, Lee Tokar. Or I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he's my man.
Lily.
Big fan, Lee. But yeah, but like if anyone has any like familiarity with Barbie movies at all, they've probably seen this scene because Bibble kind of blew up as a meme for a while. And then this video was going around and it's just fabulous. Yodeling Bibble, Opera Bibble, Deep Voice Bibble, where he's
no,
like...
No, Deep Voice Bibble is bad. It's cursed. That is a cursed thing. It's bad, Lily. It's bad. It haunts me. I think it haunts me. In the back of my head, there's always Deep Voice Bibble nonstop.
Aren't you just the nicest thing a branch ever saw? I don't have a very deep voice, as you can probably tell.
All of us do. Insert clip of Deep Voice Bibble to haunt.
Delicious.
Bibble?
Well, hello, Barry. Don't you look lovely today? And you, aren't you the most luscious thing a branch ever saw?
Other interesting characters, for me, that they credit her as Wise Fish, but the fish who, like, lives near the oracle that you can, like, or no, what do they call it? At the Mirror of the Mist, sorry. The fish that guards the Mirror of the Mist, Wise Fish, is just, like, this...
My favorite character.
Bug-eyed fish.
Like, almost like a puffer fish that just, like, pops out of nowhere of this, like... That whole scene is crazy because, like, they have to go through the, like, seaweed cave that's, like, trying to kill them. And then it's just this dark cavern with nothing but this mirror and this big old fish that's just, I guess, waiting patiently for someone to come down there. Like, what a horrible existence, or a great existence if you don't like people.
Well, to me, it's reminiscent of, like, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. You've got, like, the venomous tentacula, which is, like, the seaweed trying to, like, grab them. And then you get down to, like, the Mirror of Erised, which is, like, the Mirror of the Mist. I don't know. I feel like they were maybe ripped off there a little bit 5 years later. I just love that this fish just sounds like a chain-smoking grandmother.
It's like she's been down there just smoking packs, waiting for someone to come. And then when it's she's just like, ugh, finally someone's at the mirror.
And then she's ready to bring up their tea.
I know, she's like spilling
really the tea. She's like, don't you want to see if Prince Nalu loves you to Nori? And then she tells Elena, what was it, if you were meant to be a fairy or something?
Yeah, exactly. Are you really meant to be? Like, what? How does she know that?
I know.
I want a sequel of the fit, like the wise fish and like her story, because I think she knows, like she knows everything.
Yeah, she knows a lot. She's like that receptionist who like seems kind of quiet, but she's like, and she's always like out smoking, but then she absorbs all the tea.
She knows, like she just hearing things like from like the back room. She heard like one of those like mer fairy things talking about Nalu and Nori. She's like, ooh, put that down in my notes.
I like the development with the fungi. And especially like
they're way more fun in this one. Like the fungi and Nalu side scenes are some of my favorite parts of the entire like film. Like while there are, you know, kidnapper and kidnappee, they also have a bit of a bromance going on. Like they can have fun with each other. Nalu and the fungi.
They're examining like the real life relationship, like when you get held hostage, that common scenario. Like you develop a repartee.
Exactly. It's like, well, I guess we're both here. Let's have some fun. Like it's good. No, I also like that they made like Max have a lot more, I guess, romantic relationship with Laverna, which is like very awesome, I guess. Good for like fungi deserve love too. You know, it's 2020. Let's be open-minded. If a fungi wants to love its fairy overlord, I support it. I'm going to go on record. Put that on the books.
I would say it seems very one-sided.
Yes.
I mean, you know, who knows? Laverna has had a very rough life. Maybe she just doesn't really know how to reciprocate love. You know, she's been banished by her sister after, like, I guess they have some weird history. It's not ever really clear how we got from point A to point B. But if your hair is green like that and you're wearing that color lipstick, something has gone wrong down your life. So I think she's just doing her best. She's doing her best.
Yeah, she's really embraced the lime green and purple, the colors of evil.
She's a little bit more subtle in other Barbie movies, but in the Fairytopia series, you know you're in a bad place if everything's green.
Like that weird, like murky green, like not fun lime green, like olive green and like eggplant purple, and you're like, oh, you're a villain, you're evil. Which I wish real life was like that. Like you could go into somebody's home and be like the color code and be like, I think you're a villain. I think you're a bad guy. Everything's green and purple. You have cacti everywhere. Cacti are the evil flower. Lily,
I have cactus-shaped lamps. I have actual cacti. I've got cacti on a pillow.
Oh, no, Lily. I think you're the Laverna of our group.
I mean, I am the one with dark hair, so clearly I can't be the Barbie.
Yikes.
Well, I do like the dynamic of Nori and Elena, like their development where, like, Nori's like, hey, maybe I don't have to shut you out because I think you're into Nori. And then Elena's like, hey, not everyone thinks I'm an awesome person. Like,
yeah, I think that's it's actually really interesting to have, like, I think you don't always see that in Barbie movies, to have, like, a character who, like, doesn't like Barbie or, like, the Barbie character immediately. She's like, you know what, your peppy attitude and your pink, I'm not into it. And the fact that you're eating seaweed with my man, no. And then Elena's like, oops, I guess some people hate me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that pushback is helpful. And there's a line where Alina says, why are you so against me? And I think you can really tell that no one's ever been like, I mean, I guess the fairies used to be mean to Alina, but no one ever like disliked
her. I mean, the pixies were mean to her, like in the first movie, they're not actually fairies. They're like the pixies, which are a different species. And I assume they live in Pixiopolis. If we're going to go off the logic of this film, and wherever Bibble is from is like Bibbleton. But anyways, like the fairies, like Dandelion is kind, like Topaz, their person is very kind. Like other, and like the only one who's like, is like kind of rude is the girl who used to work with Laverna. But I think that's more like personal problems than Elena. Like, I think she's going through some stuff. So like, it feels like people like Elena, and like she's had Bibble for who knows how long. So that's, I guess that exists. So I'm sure that messes with you a little bit, your perception of reality. And she lives in a literal flower that's only existence is to love and support her. So I guess when you leave that and you're like, man, I guess fish people don't like me. But I also enjoy the fact that they didn't go down the trope of it being like a mermaid versus fairy thing. Like, no, there's no animosity between the mermaid Mermaidia and Fairytopia. They have a very peaceful agreement, not since the great fairy and mermaid war of over 300 years ago, but then afterwards the great peace treaty between their great rulers was found. And now they have a lovely trade agreement in which their economies both are reliant upon each other. It's lovely. So I'm glad that's not where like it goes, because sometimes with kids movies, like that's the immediate thing. It's like has to be a like a species or like a race thing, but it's not here. It was just like, nope, I have my own personal biases against you. And then I will learn to undo those personal biases. They're not, you know, I just think that's good, because sometimes in life kids need to learn not everyone's gonna like you, but that doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means you have to have better communication skills to get the job done. And it doesn't mean you have to be best friends at the end, but when genocide's on the line, you gotta work together.
Yeah, that's one thing, is that both of these movies, there's like a threat of like serious harm or death to either fairies in the first one, mermaids in this one. Like, it's a threat of genocide versus like Elena's personal desire to have wings. And her choice is always between like a bunch of people getting sick or dying, or her like getting wings, something she like hasn't had before. So she's like survived just fine without them. So it's a hard choice, like personally, but then also when you look at it from a, you know, outsider's objective perspective, you're like, what even is the choice here?
Yeah, it's like, it does actually, when you put it in that context, kind of concerns me, like, how much of a pause there is with Elena every time it becomes a conundrum. Like, in the first movie, it was like, yeah, it's hard to see which way I'm going to go here. And then this one, she's like, yikes, the pearls, and I mean, I guess I can't let the entire mermaids be genocided, but I really would like wings, but okay, like, Lena, honey, no. And if anything, the second time around, she should know by doing the right thing, she'll probably get her wings back. Okay, if you can stop one genocide and still get wings, you can stop another genocide and still get wings, because the probability of it happening one time means it's gonna happen another time.
Yeah, though I think the first time she was caught in a little bit of a trance.
Yeah,
that she could, like, willfully break out of.
Sure, but Alyssa. Yeah.
But I think it is.
Empathize with the almost genocider.
No.
Alyssa, can you just say that into the microphone that you support genocide?
No.
I think it's compelling to have a Barbie character who is somewhat pulled towards the dark side and then kind of pushes back against that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I actually like the character that, like, of Elena. Like, I think she has a lot more depth than some of the other Barbie, like, stand-ins do in these films. You know, like, she actually has really intense problems she has to deal with, which, you know, I guess, like, actually every Barbie, especially the last few Barbie movies, have had some really intense thing. Like Magic of Pegasus, it was like, marry a creepy old guy or everyone dies. It's a lot of genocide in the last few Barbie movies.
Yeah, they just had to, like, you know, raise the stakes, and the stakes are already high, like, in Nutcracker, so they could only go up from there.
You know, it's like shrinking stuff in Nutcracker, complete poverty in Princess and the Pauper, genocide? Like, those are the three Barbie tiers, and then it just has to go back, and then they, like, completely lower the stakes in the next movie. Like, you know what, we went too far.
I think that explains why Diamond Castle happened. They had to really reset. Yeah,
they're like, you know what, we just need nothing. We just need for the bad thing to be music, maybe bad for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a couple of, like, gripes with this film. I'm not too huge. One is that every time we see an up close of Max Fungus Maximus talking with Laverna, his nose is, like, jiggling gelatinously. And I didn't appreciate that detail. And then the second thing is that when they're trying to escape the fungi with the immunity berry, they're like tossing it back and forth between between Alina, Nori, and Nalu, and you can't throw things like that underwater. They'll just stop moving.
Okay, so fine, Lily. So you can have a berry that transforms you into a frog if that's your true self, but physics being defied, that's where we draw the line. Like,
well, magic is part of the universe.
A little person can exist in the shell of a large oracle snail. Berries can transform you and give you your wings back. A creepy smoking fish lives at the bottom of a pit. But physics is where you draw the line, Lily. That's it. Like, that's the line. Like, that
still seems to exist in this universe. Things move around in accordance with how the water works.
I mean, some sort of physics evolves in this universe. We do not know what physics it's going by.
There's like defined laws for physics, but especially in the Barbie universe, magic has no laws. It's just
there are no laws.
So that's why, you know, you have to give these like girls a snap if you want to get any information out of them.
Chaos laws, which is why I think Bibble has to be a god of this, because he's pure chaos and clearly like this energy center for all of it in this universe.
Your first point, Lily, yeah. I just want to mention whenever they do the like video call thing, I just laugh because it reminds me of old people because they're all so close. And then when they like are unsure about something, they get even closer. So it's just like their eye. And I'm like, oh, it's
so funny. I didn't think about that, but that is horrible when he gets like, he's like, Nevada, I'll get the immunity berry. Is it this one? Oh, no. Which I love is such a 2006 understanding of how video calls would work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look where we are now. Is it really that different? Yeah, so one last thing I want to talk about is just like the landscape of Mermaidia. I think it's, one, a lot more like aesthetically pleasing than Fairytopia was. Like, there's different kinds of like underwater plants mixed together and stuff. And I think the world, I mean, not in every scene, like there's definitely some times when they're like swimming along and there's like nothing around them and you're like, they're just in an expanse of nothingness, but then also, you know, they're underwater, so that kind of like in the ocean that would happen. But then you get to the scenes of like Mermaidia, like the metropolis area, and there's all these corals and plants and creatures swimming around, and it feels like a much more fully universe than we typically get with the Barbie movies.
I will say Mermaidia, I will say, is a bit of a letdown because there seems to be actually like very few mermaids when we go there. And I'm like, what is Nalu in charge of? Like, these five corals, this creepy turtle, and Nori? What is he in charge of? Like, I assume because it's an ocean, probably it's a lot different structured than what we land dwellers would think of a structure. But I have questions, but you know what? I digress. I accept.
Nora is the only other mermaid, and she's just like, I hope
she's not allowed to marry Prince Nalu on the fact that she's not a royal. Nori, there's only two of you. I don't know what you want.
What if Nalu just like made that up? He's like, well, I'm
just like gaslighting Nora. He's like, I'm the prince. Like, I'm Prince Nalu. She's like,
that person who insists on going out with you, and you're like, I have to think of something. And I'm like, my mom won't let me go. That's why I can't go with you, Alina.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, I can't go on that date. I'm a prince. We don't have a. What are you talking? Shh.
As princes, like, you just wouldn't get it. You're a commoner.
Prince thing. You just not. I'm a different breed. You just don't understand.
Yeah, I think it was a refreshing or like a nice change of pace to have like a romantic relationship that wasn't including Barbie.
Yeah,
and
the side characters get love too.
Right. Like, I like that a lot actually, and it wasn't like typical like, you know, like happy dopey like romance, because Nori was kind of like a jerk sometimes, but like a playful one, and you're like, kind of like it, kind of dig it.
Yeah, and it's clear that her and Nalu had like a built relationship, like their friendship, not just love at first sight, but a solid foundation.
It was actually unrealistic in the fact where like Nalu's like, no, I don't like Alina. I only ate seaweed with her for like 20 minutes a year ago, or like, you know, 6 months ago. Like, that makes more sense.
If it'll make you happy, babe, I won't eat seaweed with
another girl. I won't eat seaweed with other ladies. I'm so sorry. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to eat seaweed. And also, if I didn't, I think we all would have died.
Remember the firebirds and their stinky
stuff? Remember the firebirds? Those were crazy, man.
Call back to the last film. All right, firebirds. Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I think we covered almost too much.
Thank you for listening to Girls Like You. Make sure to follow us on your choice of podcast hosting platforms or on our anchor.fm page. For any questions, comments, or Barbie movie insights you think we should or should have covered in this or any other episode, email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message on our anchor.fm page. Remember,
don't enslave a living being in your back. I don't know.